Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll teach you something. Next time when you go to any country in Africa, you will hear so many praise the Lord, so many hallelujahs during the service, and the response will be hallelujah or amen or praise the Lord. So any of those. So praise the Lord, church. Amen. There we go. My name is Joseph Munyampara. I'm so honored to be here. I don't know where to start from. It's my second time to be here. The first time I was sitting there in the back. And I would like to thank Pastor Kyle, the elders, and all the leaders of the church to allow me to speak to this beautiful community of our Lord. And I have a lot to say, but time is not on my side. So let's just go into the scripture. I am coming back next week. Don't worry. I will pour my heart more on what I wanted to say today, but I won't be saying it today. So make sure you come back next week. Okay? Let's go into the book of 3 John. We'll read verse 1 up to verse 4. I had a chance to know that Pastor Kyle has been teaching on a series called Prove It. You have to prove it. Whatever you say, whatever you believe, your Christian life, you have to prove it. It can't be just a matter of words. You have to prove it in the way you live, in what you do, in the way you behave. So let's read verse 1. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came, testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John, writing to his friend, he calls him a friend, but he calls him a child or a son. And this is because of the relationship that he has had with this man. And he's so happy, he expresses his joy to see his children in the Lord walking faithfully in the truth. So today I'll be sharing about the three keys that we need in our lives as Christians. But before I share those three keys, I just want you to request you to turn to a neighbor beside you and tell that person beside you that the Lord called you to serve others. Preach with me, please. Tell the person beside you, the Lord called you to serve others. Now, today, it's Father's Day, and fathers are servants. Fatherhood is all about serving. Most of the time, we call them the head, the top of the family. But if you look at their life, you might call them the feet, because they carry the weight of the whole body of a family. They're servants. Wherever the family is going, they're willing to first take a step and go. So the head doesn't lead. The head doesn't carry the whole weight of the body. So fathers are like feet. Wherever they go, that's where their family will go. And fathers and men in general, the Lord has used them to increase, to encourage the church, to grow the church in many nations. When fatherhood and manhood are dead in a country is dead. When fatherhood and manhood is dead in the church is in trouble. So fathers are a good example of a servant. No wonder Jesus told us that when we pray, we should call him our Father in heaven. And I want us to learn from our Father in heaven, because he's a great, great, great Father. So we are called to serve others. John, he's telling his friend that he feels so proud of him because he had other people who went to his friend the way he served them and the way he serves the Lord and the way he walks in the truth. So his friend is a servant. He serves the Lord, he serves people, and he does all in the truth. Now let me give you the first key to servanthood. I'll share three. First one is knowing and walking in the truth. The second one is doing what is best for you and others. The third one is exploring and exercising freedom. We'll go a little bit in details. Knowing and walking in the truth. Why do we need to know and walk in the truth for us to be good servants of others and good servants of the Lord? And I know this word and this name is one of the most hated names by Christians, being called a servant. Not only Christians, everybody doesn't want to be called a servant. We want to be called friends, like Jesus told his disciples, that I no longer call you my servants, but I call you my friends. But we see Jesus sending them to go and serve him in all nations. So the role of servanthood is not taken away. It's the misunderstanding of who and what serving is. That misunderstanding is that when you're a servant, you're useless. You're meaningless. No, not in God's perspective. When you're a servant, you're like him. So why do we need to know the truth and walk in the truth? Because Jesus is the truth. So we need to know Jesus, and we need to walk like him. John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody goes to the Father except through me. When he says except through me, in other words, he's saying except you take me, because I am your way to the Father. And I am the truth that you need to go to the Father. And you need to be lively to be with the Father. To see the Father, you need to have life. And that life is me. So Jesus is all we need. We need to know Jesus and walk in his ways. And Jesus has talked about his ways. In Matthew chapter 20, on verse 26. So this is Jesus talking about these two brothers who want to take the seat, one on the right hand and another one on the left hand. And the mother is there begging, mothers, we know that you love us and you pray for us. But sometimes you pray in the wrong way. You ask what we don't really need. Because you love us so much, sometimes your love blinds you to see what God wants to do in our lives. So this mother is presenting a very good prayer request to Jesus. In your kingdom, would you let my two sons, one sit on your left, another one sit on your right? Jesus looked at her and said, that's not my job. It's the Father who decides who sits on the left and who sits on the right. When other disciples heard about that, the battle started. Who are you to think that you will sit on the right, on the left, and leave me behind? You mean I won't be sitting with Jesus? Now they started quarreling on who is greater than the other. I don't want to serve you if you sit on the right, on the left. You think I will serve you because you're sitting with Jesus? What about it's me sitting on his side? So Jesus tells them, you should not worry about that. And verse 26, he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great, because it's an issue of greatness, whoever wants to become great among you must be what? Your servant. Who wants to be great? Can you show me your hand if you want to be great? Oh, wow. The whole church wants to be great. So Emmanuel, whoever wants to be great here in this church, serve all these people. Serve them. Not when they say thank you, even when they don't say thank you. Serve them. A servant does not always wait for instructions. Sometimes a servant will just do it because he knows it's what will please his master. You know, people are struggling in their lives. They're struggling in their Christian life. Pray for them. You don't need to text them to ask them if they need prayers. No, you already know. Come here, pray for them, serve them. I love the way I was welcomed at the door. Those people are serving. They're serving us. Some of us, you wake up and you're not in a good mood. They greet you and you don't even greet back. So what are you going to do? Not greet that person again? No, keep serving them. If you want to be great, serve others. And whoever wants to be first, who wants to be first in all you do, in your school, in your class, at church, best musician, best preacher, best prayer warrior, best in everything. Okay, let me see hands again. Who wants to be first? Everybody wants to be first. Okay, whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Let me ask again. Please show me your hand, okay? Who wants to be first? Okay, church, write their names. These are your slaves. Last time. Who wants to be first? The hands are reducing. You must be this. Let me tell you, a slave has no choice. He doesn't choose the kind of work he has to do. He waits for his master to just say it. I want you to examine yourself. Have you been a slave to the Lord, to this church? Have you been serving them? See, a slave, you will never find a slave complaining about what the master said. Oh, he told me to clean the church, but you know, why should I clean the church? I don't even clean at my house. Why is Jesus telling us all these things? Look at verse 28. Just as the Son of Man, that is Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. How many of you are so happy and praising the Lord for Jesus to give his life and set you free and save you? How many of you are so happy to have Jesus in your life? Did you know that it costed him to serve and it costed him his life? So to be a servant and to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it costs you your life. Emmanuel, until you give your whole life to Jesus. Some people say, I have given my whole life to Jesus, you know? But when there is a ministry that glorifies the name of Jesus, you have to beg them, would you please come? Would you please join? Then they will tell, I'm so busy with work. You know, I work from Monday to Sunday. I have no time. I don't read the Bible. I don't pray. I don't even know where to start from. Come on, what did you give to Jesus? You have no time for him. You have no time for his word. You have no time for his people. You have no time for... When we understand that we are called to serve him and the people around us, then some of the disciplines will be very, very easy. They will become easy for us. Pastor Austin mentioned about me preaching on the streets. I didn't plan to talk about this, but you started it. One day, I was coming from a conference in Uganda. It was a youth conference. I just attended it because I felt like the Spirit was leading me to go to Uganda. I wasn't invited to speak. I just attended the conference. Coming back, there are things that the Lord was leading me to do. And one day I was sleeping. Then he brought in a dream. He brought this scripture of the son of the king's banquet. Then with that, he started talking about his, in the dream, he started telling me that my city is dying and nobody is coming to the banquet. People are dying in sin. Then I woke up, I felt so heavy in my spirit. I prayed, I said, Lord, why did you give me this dream and what do you want me to do? Then I fell asleep again after praying. Then in a dream again, the Lord spoke to me. I had a voice telling me that my whole city needs somebody to go and preach to them and lead people to Christ. Then he gave me a very scary dream of a flood taking over the whole city, people screaming. And he told me that's how families are dying. And I have so many families in this city where there is no child or father or mother or relative that knows Jesus. So go and preach. When I woke up, I felt even more heavy. And he's inviting me to preach on the street where people know me from my childhood. They know my stubbornness of the past. They know everything about me and my family. That's how I started the ministry. I said, you know what, Lord? I don't even know what to tell your people. I'll be on the street. Some people are tired from their work. They're going home. They're so tired. They worked. Maybe the day wasn't the best. And you want me to be screaming on them? I started giving reasons. I was full of fear. That day I did not go to work because the heaviness in my spirit put me to sleep again. And I woke up at 12. It cost us our life. Let me not go into that testimony so we can run and learn again. So Jesus says, I came to serve and I gave my life. So you should do the same. So the key number two, if you want to be a great servant to others, you need to do what is best for you and others. You know, knowing the truth and walking in the truth on our first point, it has a challenge because when I came to Canada, I had people saying that everybody has his own truth. You stick to your truth, I stick to my truth. No. When you come to the Lord, there is no longer your truth. Unless if you're saying, my Jesus. But if it's not your Jesus that you're talking about, then your truth needs to be examined. Okay? You need to die on that truth of yourself. This is how I know it. This is how I do it. I've done this. My father did this. My great-grandfather did this. The fathers of this nation have been doing this for years and years. If it's against the will of the Father, then it's not the truth. I'm sorry to say that. And I hope you let me preach next week too. Okay. Doing what's best for you and others. Now, this is another challenge and another barrier that causes us to not serve others. Everybody wants what's best for him alone. I want what's best for me, and I will do what's best for me. And I will only care on what's best for me. That's not the life that the Lord is calling us to live. Okay, let's go in John chapter 13, verse 34. I give you a new command. What is that? Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How did Jesus love us? He served us and he gave his life for us. So if you do and you care about what's best for you only, are you loving like Jesus? Because Jesus set the standard and he said, do the same thing. I loved you. I served you. I gave my life for you. So you go do the same thing. Love others, serve them, and give your life for them. I love the way a family is built in Canada. And I love the way people love their families. They have activities with their families. It's so nice to see fathers playing with their children. But fathers, that love is not only for your family. It starts with your family. But it's so big, and the Lord has given you so much love, enough for your family, for your church, for your community, for your country, and other nations. Sometimes to me, it feels like there are giants in love who are full of love, but they want to stay in the comfort zone in a very tiny room, thinking that this is where the Lord wants me to be. No, you are a giant. Fathers, you are giants. And the Lord has filled you with love. There are so many orphans who need fathers in their lives. You can't be there for them. The church needs fathers. And it's not a matter of age. It's a matter of the purpose of fatherhood in the church, in the community. Costs you to give your life. And here comes Paul, Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Wow. Value others above. I was going to ask who values others more than himself. And I was going to ask you to raise your hands, but please don't do that. But you can answer this question to yourselves. Because fathers, see, I praise God because this is lining to today's celebration of the fathers. Fathers love their wives, their children, their household more than themselves. When you see a father, a husband, a son walking out of the door, going to work, and sometimes they're smiling They're telling everybody that they love their work, but their work is really, really hard. Sometimes on their bodies, on their mental health, but they want to go there because they want this other side, the wife, the children, to be well, to be happy. That's the love of the Father, and that's something we should learn. We learn it from our Father in heaven. Remember, Paul, in this chapter, he talks about how Jesus was surrounded by worship, angels worshiping day and night. And then he left that great environment to come on earth where there is hunger, there is killing, there is tears, there is trouble, and lived with us. He loved us. So when we read scriptures, God is not asking us to do what he did not do for us. We should learn from him. He loved us, gave his life. He loved us more than he loved himself. He gave his life for your life. So we need to do the same. So value others above yourselves. How many are saying that from today I will value others more than myself? Okay, at least I will learn how to value others more than myself. This is not in a bad context of where you have to die. No, Jesus died for us, okay? But there is something you can do for others. Key number three, exploring and exercising freedom. When the worship team was leading us in songs, I was like, they're quoting all the scriptures I want to use today. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we need to explore this freedom. So this word comes from a conversation of Jesus and these Pharisees who are arguing with him. And Jesus is telling them on verse 31, he tells them, the Bible says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And the Pharisees said, we belong to you, that's what you're saying? No. We are children of Abraham. We are not slaves to anybody. Because when you say you hold to the teachings of Jesus, it simply means you are a slave of Jesus. You've given your life to Jesus. Whatever he says, that's what you do. Wherever he leads you, that's where you go. So you honor him and you give him your life. They say, we are not slaves to anybody. We're children of Abraham. We are free. And Jesus tells them, but you sin. You have given your lives to sin. And when you give your life to sin, you become a slave of sin. So you're slaves. On verse 34, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham descendants. You can mention the name of your grandfather who was great. Jesus knows that you are. I was going to make some names. Okay, William's grandson. You can mention your grandfather's name. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed, and you are a descendant of your grandfather, that is great. Yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. So it's either the word of Jesus or your life for sin. Either you give your life for his word or you give your life for sin. Freedom is in those who give their life for his word. That is freedom. And freedom gives you this access like a son. When a son is coming home, he doesn't need permission to sit in his chair. But when it's a visitor, you have to ask permission, where should I sit? Sometimes a son in the house will come and tell you, you're 50 years and this is a 5-year-old. He will come and tell you, oh, that's not where you're supposed to sit, and you will stand right away. When you're a visitor, you will stand right away. A 5-year-old who is a son in the house will show you where to sit, and you will sit there. Do you know why? Because that son has the right in his father's house. So when our life has been given to Jesus, he fills us with his word, then we have the right in the father's house. Then we can make order. So we are free. We need to explore and exercise this freedom. But remember, like how Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, on verse 3, he said, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Your freedom, the purpose of your freedom is to serve others. You are free for you to serve others. This servanthood is not by force. No, it's a choice. If it's still by force, it feels like slavery. But if it's by choice, then it's true servanthood. Emmanuel, we have been called to serve one another. If you want to be fruitful in your servanthood, know and walk in the truth. Explore and exercise freedom. Do what's best for you and others.